I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to, there's two passages we're going to be looking at this morning, Exodus chapter 3 and then 1 Kings 19. So Exodus 3 and 1 Kings 19. Last year, if you can remember way, way back a whole year ago, we spent a couple of months in a series called Breathing Room. And we talked about just this frantic pace of life that has become the norm for so many of us, where we're so busy, we're always rushing from one thing to the next and we just feel overwhelmed and exhausted so much of the time. And so we spent a couple of months talking about that and the impact that that has on us. And we looked at just some practical, simple things we can do to slow down the pace of life and to carve out space in our lives to meet with God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's one of those things that I need to be reminded of often. I tend to forget things very easily, and there are certain lessons that God has to keep teaching me over and over again. And you may be the same as me in that regard. The last couple of months have been an example of that, of how easy it is to forget, just to pause and to slow things down in our lives. So let me just give you an example from a little while ago when Sheila and I were on vacation in Tennessee. We're driving along this one day, and it's a beautiful day out, sunny, not a cloud in the sky, warm out, and so we've got the top down. And we're driving along, it's just the two of us, it's great spending time together with my wife, and we're listening to an 80s station, best music of all time, and if you disagree, you need to repent. So I'm just going to say that. So it's one of those, just one of those great moments, right? And all of a sudden, my thought life begins to interfere with the enjoyment of that moment. Maybe you've had this happen. So, for example, we're driving along, and up on a hillside, we see this beautiful log cabin. It's just this massive place, really nice looking, great view from where it is, and you know, a lot of property. It's a really nice place. And we noticed that, and here's where my mind went right away. It's like, that's a really nice place. Man, I wish I could have a place like that. Like, that's where my mind went. Not just noticing and appreciating it, but wanting it, right? And saying, man, I'd love to. Wouldn't it be nice to retire in a place like that? Am I ever going to be able to retire? Like, that's probably something I should start thinking about and maybe preparing for, since I'm in my 50s. Maybe I should start thinking about retirement at some point and doing something to plan for that. But what would happen to the church then if I retired? How could I prepare the church for that? And what's that all? So that's where my mind went, right? So now I'm distracted from just enjoying the day. And then a couple minutes after that, I see a car coming the other way, and it looks like the car that belongs to a friend of mine. And I see that car, and I think of that person. And so I'm like, I wonder how he's doing. It's been a while since we've talked. I probably should check in on him. I can't do it right now because we're on vacation, so let me just take my phone out and make myself a note to remind me to call him when I get back. And of course, as soon as I do that, now I'm hit with all these messages and voicemails and reminders and interruptions, and so now that's distracting my focus again. And then a couple of minutes after that, I notice my knee starts to hurt from all the hiking we did yesterday. And so I'm thinking, I wonder if I should get that checked out. And not only that, but like, I'm hurting in places I shouldn't be hurting right now. I'm kind of out of shape. No, that's not true. I'm really out of shape. I'm really out of shape. I should start exercising. But when am I going to find time to exercise? I got so much other stuff. I don't have time to exercise. And man, it's so frustrating because all these things I know I should do and I don't have time to do it. And I plan to do it and I never follow through. You've done this, right? Yeah. Like, that's where my mind goes. That's where our minds go. They just kind of take over and it becomes very frustrating. And all of a sudden, what was an amazing gift from the hand of God is completely lost in the noise of my distracted thought life. James tells us every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. So all around us every day, God gives us these gifts, right? Sometimes they're big things. Sometimes they're just very simple things that are a gift from the hand of God. They're reminders to us of his love and his power and his presence and his work in our lives. And so much of the time, we don't even notice them because of our busyness and all the noise in our lives. And so we don't even pause to appreciate the warmth of the sunshine and to recognize that's a gift from God who loves us. Or to recognize just the joy of hearing a song. It just ignites something inside of us. That song you hear and it's like, man, I got to hear that again. That's a great song. Or the joy of being with someone that you love. Or the beauty of God's creation, how he speaks to us. We completely miss those things because of the noise and the busyness in our lives. And because of that, we miss out on opportunities to receive from God, to hear his voice, and to encounter him in a life-changing way. So with that in mind, I want us to look at a brief moment from the life of Moses and then a brief moment from the life of the prophet Elijah. So let's take a look, starting with Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. It says this: one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "And here I am," Moses replied. I just want you to notice here that God spoke to Moses when Moses turned aside from what he was doing to go and see what God was doing. That's when God spoke to him. Let's fast forward from that and go to the life of Elijah. This is after that miracle in Mount Carmel where Elijah has the showdown with all these false prophets, calls down fire from heaven, this amazing miracle. And right after that happens, his life is then threatened by the queen, and he runs. He goes into hiding and flees to the wilderness, and he meets with God there. So 1 Kings 19, starting in verse 11, God is speaking to Elijah. It says this: "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I want you to notice it says that the Lord passed by. God was right there with Elijah. And immediately when that happened, all these distractions came in. The earthquake, the wind, the fire. God was not in that. But Elijah stayed with it and continued to listen. And when he did, he heard God whisper to him. Now these two stories, Moses and Elijah, have two things in common. God was speaking and they were listening. Moses noticed and he went over to see what was happening. Now, he didn't have to do that, right? He could have just kept going. He was in the middle of a workday. He could have just noticed it and said, "Wow, that's weird, that's odd, that's interesting," and just kept doing what he was doing and said, "I'm too busy, I don't have time for this, I've got a lot of work I have to get done." He could have done that, but no, he noticed it and chose to go over and find out what was happening. And because he did, he had an encounter with God that changed his life. God spoke to him and said, "Moses, you're going to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And everything changed because Moses turned aside from what he was doing to go see what God was doing. And in Elijah's life, Elijah was on the run. He was discouraged. He was in despair. He was on the verge of giving up. And he ran into the wilderness to go into hiding, away from all the noise, all the crowds, all the busyness, all the distractions. And while he was there, he heard the whisper of God and had a conversation with God that absolutely changed his life. God was speaking and they were listening. And what you and I need to know today is this: God is still speaking. The question is, are we listening? Or has all the noise in our lives kept us from hearing the whisper of the Holy Spirit? Has all the busyness in our days kept us from meeting with God and seeing what he wants to do in our lives? When we are so frantic, always rushing around trying to get one more thing done, we put so much into our days, we try to accomplish so much to where we have no space, there's no margin in our lives. And when we fill our lives up with so much busyness and always rushing around, we completely miss the voice of God. Our lives become so noisy, we can't hear him. Our lives become so busy, we can't see him. And we miss out. Again, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. We miss out on these opportunities God gives us to meet with him, to hear his voice, and to be transformed by him. If we're going to walk with God, if we're going to be changed by him, if we're going to experience revival and see breakthrough in our lives, if those things are going to happen, we have to slow down. And we have to quiet down. Like Moses, we have to slow down and turn aside from our busyness so we can meet with him. And like Elijah, we have to quiet down Invite some silence into our lives so we can hear what God is saying to us. What I'm saying is this: we have a choice. God is speaking, but we have to choose to listen to him. God is doing things, but we have to choose to turn aside from what we're doing so we can see what he's doing. We have a choice. We can continue stressing ourselves out, pursuing busyness, pursuing one more thing that we have to do. We can continue doing that, or we can step away from that and pursue him instead. Pursue the one who David said leads us beside still waters and wants to restore our soul. Pursue the one who says to us, if you're weary, if you're exhausted, if you're burned out, if you're overwhelmed, come to me and I will give you rest. That's what he offers us. Now, when you look at Jesus' life, would you say he was busy? He had a lot on his plate, didn't he? Mentoring his disciples, teaching the crowds like thousands of people, healing the sick, casting out demons, debating the Pharisees, traveling around all over the place. The crowds were always there. Jesus was a busy man. But as you look at his life, do you ever see him like frantic, freaking out, stressed out, trying to figure out how am I going to get everything done and complaining about how busy he was? We don't see that at all in Jesus' life, right? In fact, we should. When you think about how busy he was, think about the crowds. The crowds are always pressing in on Jesus. One time, a house where Jesus was so full of people, so jam-packed, that four guys brought a friend of theirs who was paralyzed. They wanted Jesus to heal him. They couldn't even get into the house. So they had to climb up on the roof and tear away part of the roof and lower their friend down in front of Jesus. That's how jam-packed the house was. Another time, Jesus is just having supper with his disciples, just sitting down for a meal. And it says the entire town shows up on the doorstep. Like the entire town just comes to where he is. And all these people are sick and demon-possessed. And for hours, Jesus ministers to them, healing the sick and casting out demons for hours late into the night. There were two occasions when large crowds were following Jesus for hours at a time. So much so that he didn't have a chance to eat. They didn't have a chance to eat. Now it's late in the day. There's no way for them to get any food. And Jesus had to do a miracle and miraculously provide food for them. Then there was a time when the crowds were pressing in on him. He's on his way to heal this girl who was at the verge of death. And the crowds are pressing in so much so that there's a woman who needed to be healed. And she like pushes her way through the crowd. And all she's able to do is just barely get a finger on his robe. And when she does, she's healed instantly. And remember what happens? Jesus stops everything and says, "Who was it that touched me?" And the disciples say, "Jesus, look around. Everyone's touching you." Like there's all these people just jammed in trying to get closer and closer to him. And then Luke chapter 5, Jesus is on the shore teaching the crowds. And the crowds keep growing and growing and growing and pressing in. And he's like right up against the water. And the crowds keep growing. And he has to get into a boat and go offshore to have space so he can teach them. That's what Jesus' life looked like. We read descriptions like large crowds, great multitudes, a great number of people. It says things like this: they were crowding around him. They were pressing in on him. All the people were trying to touch him. Does that sound like a busy man? Is this a life you would want? And yet when you look at his life, you don't see Jesus freaking out. You don't see him having meltdowns and complaining about how busy he is. You don't see him frantically rushing around. He seems very purposeful in everything he does. Why is that? Because Jesus intentionally made time to get away from the crowds often and spend time alone with the Father. He intentionally made time often to get away from his closest friends, the disciples, and go off to spend time alone with the Father. Think about that. In the face of numerous needs, like this endless parade of needs, this endless parade of people who wanted to see him, who wanted to hear him, who wanted to be healed by him, all the needs that came Jesus' way, and in fact, knowing that he was on this earth just for three years of his ministry, and he was here to die, to rescue us, to offer salvation to us, knowing everything that he had awaiting him, Jesus still took the time to get away from all of that so he could be alone with the Father. That tells me this really matters. In fact, Jesus, one time when he sent his disciples out on one of their mission trips, says to them, "Freely you have received, now go and freely give." See, if we're not receiving first, we'll have nothing to give. If you're always giving and never receiving in God's presence, sitting at the feet of Jesus like the disciples did, if you're always trying to give and never trying to receive, you're going to run on empty very quickly. This goes way back to the beginning. In fact, God actually gave us a commandment about this. Think about this. One of God's top 10 commandments. When God said, what are the 10 things that I need to tell people that I want to make sure my followers do these things and don't do these things? What are the most important 10 things I want them to follow? One of those top 10 was this. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's one of the 10 commandments. Take a day off every week for worship and for rest. How important is this? Well, it's ranked up there with don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't worship false gods. Like, for you and me to take a day of rest and worship every week is just as important to God as that we not murder and steal and commit adultery and all those kind of things. Why does this matter so much to him that we take a day off, that we rest in him? Why does that matter? It matters because, first of all, it's an act of worship. But it also matters because God knows we need that. A few hundred years later, when Jesus was debating the Pharisees were imposing all these restrictions on the Sabbath, right? Saying, here's all the things you must do on the Sabbath. Here's all the things you can't do. They were adding all these laws, all these rules and regulations to the Sabbath. And Jesus stepped in and said, hold on, guys, you're completely missing the point here. The Sabbath was not made, or man was not made to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. It's for us. It's a gift from God. In other words, it's not a legalistic thing. This whole idea of a day of rest, this actually came before the law was given, before the Ten Commandments were given. It goes way back before that. The law was given so we would know how important this is. But even before that, back in the very beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth and everything in it in 6 days. And on the seventh day, what did God do? He rested. Why did God rest? Was he tired? I don't think so. God rested because he wanted to model for us the importance of this. The value, the absolute necessity, the taking a day of rest to worship God and to rest from all the stuff that we have our lives wrapped up in, that is a part of the rhythm of what a healthy life looks like. It's part of how God created us to function. And when we don't do that, there's a price we pay because we're harming ourselves. It really should highlight for us the importance of taking a step back and learning to pause in God's presence and to do that consistently. And I think it's important too for us not to look at it as, well, this is something I should do. This is something I ought to do. This is something I'm supposed to do. Don't look at it that way. Look at it as this is something I need to do. And I think fixing this problem of being so busy and so overworked and overwhelmed, I think fixing that starts there with recognizing that we need this, that we need Sabbath, we need rest. It starts with recognizing that we have a problem. This frantic pace of life, it's too much. We weren't built for this. And not only does it harm our relationships, it harms our health, and it keeps us from truly walking with God. Be still, God says, and know that I am God. How will we know him if we are never still? So God shows up in a burning bush, and Moses turns aside from what he's doing to go see what God is doing. Elijah hears the whisper of God and receives direction he needed at a time when he was deeply, deeply discouraged. And both of these men were changed in that moment because God spoke and they listened. Think about Moses. His life changed because in the middle of a day, in the middle, while he was at work, he turned aside from what he was doing to go and meet with God. Can you imagine what his life would have been if that had not happened? What he would have missed out on, what the entire nation of Israel would have missed out on, if Moses had seen that burning bush and just said, oh, that's cool, and kept going with his day, everything would have been different. What would he have missed out on? How about Elijah? Can you imagine what he would have missed out on in his deepest, darkest moment of discouragement if in the middle of God speaking to him, he had totally ignored that and said, I'm not going to listen. I'm just going to go do my own thing. If he hadn't listened to the voice of God, what would his life have turned out to be? And the question for us is, what are we missing out on? When all of the noise in our lives prevents us from hearing God's voice. when all of the busyness in our lives prevents us from slowing down and meeting with Him. This busyness that we have accepted as the norm, it's an enemy of intimacy with God. It's an enemy of spiritual growth. And it prevents revival from ever happening personally and in our communities. So what do we do with this? How do we slow things down and how do we resolve this? Well, there's a whole area of study on slowing down the pace of life and simplifying your life. And you can buy books and get apps on your phone and find all kinds of stuff. You know, here's 25 steps to simplifying your life. And they're really not that simple. So I wanted this to be practical and I want it to also be simple. So I kind of boil it down to just a simple statement that I think all of us can remember and I hope is very practical. Here's the statement. Say no to some things so you can say yes to one thing. Say no to some things so you can say yes to one thing. There are things in our lives that we should be saying no to. Because saying yes makes our lives too busy, makes our lives overwhelming. Just imagine you have no bank account, no credit cards, no debit cards, nothing to your name other than $24. You have $24 in your pocket, and that's all you have today. For all of your needs today, for gasoline, for food, for whatever you need, 24 bucks, that's all you've got. Now, if that was the case, you're going to be very careful with how you spend that money, right? Because once you spend it, it's gone. You have nothing left. So you're going to be very thoughtful about what you do with that. So, you know, if you're in the store and you're getting some food and you see some other thing and it's like, that's 10 bucks. Wow, that would be awesome to have that. It's 10 bucks. So you're going to ask the question, is it worth it for me to spend 10 bucks on this? Because once I spend $10 on this, that's $10. I don't have that anymore for all the other stuff I need. So if that was true, you would be very thoughtful, very mindful about how you use that money, right? What if we looked at our time the same way? Because every day we have 24 hours. No more, no less. And once we spend that time, we don't have it anymore. It's gone forever. If I spend 1 hour on this thing, I can't spend that hour on anything else because it's all used up. So shouldn't we ask some important questions like, is it worth it for me to be spending my time on this? Knowing that once I spend it on this, I don't have that time anymore to spend on something else. Because whatever I choose to spend my time doing is costing me that time on something else. So if we're going to invest in Sabbath, in rest, in meeting with God and hearing His voice, if we're going to do that, it starts by asking the question, what am I currently spending my time on that is costing me time with God? And sometimes we need to cut some stuff out of our lives that doesn't belong there. Not that it's sinful or wrong, but it's too costly because it prevents us from having time in our lives to do what is life-giving, to do what really matters. And I think a part of this too is we have to be honest with ourselves. We think we can do it all. We think we can fit it all in. We can't. We have limitations, we have restrictions, and we've got to be honest with ourselves about that. Sometimes it's okay to say no to some things. In fact, it's necessary to say no to some things so you can say yes to one thing. Now, what's that one thing? Well, I think it varies from person to person. The question is this, what is it that fills you? Jesus said, freely you have received. What is it that helps you to receive from God? What is it in your life that brings you closer to Him? For some people, it's music. I don't mean music in the background while you're in the middle of doing other stuff. I mean just soaking it in. Just listening to a great worship song and just allowing it to speak to your soul about God's goodness and God's power, His love for you and His presence. For some people, music is what brings them closest to God. For some people, maybe it's just going for a walk. And I don't mean just going for a walk for the sake of going for a walk, but noticing the beauty of God's creation and just receiving that as a gift, just noticing His power and His presence in everything He has created and recognizing Him in all of that. For some people, maybe it's journaling, just sitting down with a pen and a piece of paper and just writing down stuff that comes to your mind as you're in God's presence, just listening for His voice and writing down what He brings to mind. And now you have a written record of your history with God. For some people, maybe it's fasting, taking a break from a meal, skipping a meal, and doing that on a regular basis. and spending that time instead just acknowledging your hunger for more of God. And spending that time learning what it is to hear God's voice and to recognize His presence. I don't know what it is for you, but it's something for you. So find that one thing for you. What is that one thing that most opens up your awareness of God's presence in your life? Whatever that is, make that a priority. Create space in your life to do that one thing and do it often. Say no to some things so you can say yes to one thing. Because that one thing could be the very moment when you hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit at a time when you most desperately need it. And that one thing could be the very moment when you see that burning bush and experience God's presence in a way you've never known before that rewrites your history and transforms your life. Find that one thing and make it a priority. Today, that one thing that we're going to focus on is pausing to remember God's sacrifice for us. Today is Palm Sunday. And it's a reminder of the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the crowd celebrated his arrival. But a few days after that, the crowds began screaming for his execution. And Jesus submitted himself to that willingly because he loves you. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward. We're going to celebrate communion together this morning. And communion is a reminder to us of the sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf because he loves us. Jesus took the bread in his hand and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He would be abused and beaten brutally. And he allowed it to happen because he loves you. And the bread is a reminder of that. He took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which will be shed so that your sins, every one of them, can be forgiven. So that you can have a slate that is wiped clean, a brand new start." Jesus paid that price willingly because he loves you. And so this morning, this is a reminder to us. This is not something that gains us salvation. This is something we do because we've received his salvation. This is something we do to remind us to just pause, to take a step back from the busyness and the craziness of life, and to remember these physical elements to remind us of God's amazing love for us. So what we're going to do is the elders, we're going to bring the bread around, and then we're going to bring the cup around. And after everyone has been served with the bread and the cup, we'll come back up front, and then we will eat and drink together. There's a song that'll be playing in the background. I just want to encourage you, just allow it to speak to you and to be a reminder to you. Take this moment, take this time, just to pause in his presence and to be thankful for his sacrifice for you.